All right, welcome everyone to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're talking with another Microsoft partner, tyGraph. And so we have a few team members from the tyGraph team on the podcast with us today. So we have John White, Dean Swan, and Ed Senez. Again, you know, we're talking about the analytics and reporting side of Office 365, cloud services, and even, you know, with regards to Microsoft Teams. So, you know, welcome, tyGraph team. So I'm going to, chat with you, John, for a little bit. So maybe you can introduce yourself. I know you're a fellow MVP, as the rest of the O365A team is. So maybe give us a little bit about yourself and maybe just a general company history, if you can.
Yeah, well, I'm a fellow Canadian as well, although I didn't get the memo.
That's true.
We're in the hockey jersey, so I have to apologize ahead of time here. But fellow Canuck, fellow MVP. I've been I guess it's Office Apps and Services now, but a SharePoint MVP basically since 2010. And last year, I was lucky enough to get a second MVP on the data platform. So I'm a dually. I'm the CTO and co-founder of Unlimited Viz, and we're the makers of tyGraph.
Awesome. So you know, I know we're talking about obviously the analytics and reporting side. Maybe if you could explain to, you know, the listeners or the watchers, I guess, a little bit about your product and maybe some additional services that you guys provide.
Well, tyGraph has been around. Well, we've been in market now on various workloads for about 5 years. I think it's been that long. And what we do is basically bring advanced analytical capabilities to the Office 365 workloads. We started out with Yammer. And analyzing conversation patterns within Yammer, quickly expanded out to SharePoint, OneDrive, the Office 365 service as a whole, and Teams.
Cool.
Dino?
Yeah, thanks, John. In terms of like thinking of your customers and what you hear on a day-to-day basis, like, what problems are you seeing that they face, and how is tyGraph helping them solve them?
There's a number of things, really. It depends on your perspective on what data you're after. So if you're talking to someone who's interested in communications within an organization, they're interested in what content is being used, who is speaking with whom, who should be speaking with whom, who are our key influencers within a given network, so who's helping us drive adoption. IT people are looking for more things like detailed audit logs going back, you know, beyond 90 days, being able to go back years at a time to be able to, you know, track exactly what's happened and when, who's sharing information outside the organization, things of that nature. And then we've got another use case with a customer that we recently heard, had two very large companies were amalgamating, and they needed to know what content, what sites were valuable, and what they could decommission. And I know in one case that they found one site was being heavily used, and it's a SharePoint workload, and they were using a SharePoint site that was somewhere like 13 levels down on the subsites. You know how we used to design SharePoint sites, right? And it was being heavily used, and it shouldn't have been used at all. Well, as it turns out, there was an artifact in there that was being referenced in another part of the site that had they just gone ahead and removed that, like it looked like they thought they should, they would have brought down the entire network. So these are the sort of problems that we solve. And because we have some very all-encompassing information, and we've got it at that level of detail that people are finding a lot of use out of it.
Very interesting. Thank you. In terms of maybe talk a little bit about the solution architecture of the product. Is it all in the cloud? Is it some on-prem? How do you tackle that?
So there's a number of pieces to it. Our target audience is all in cloud, whether it is a fully SaaS-based solution, which we do offer, like full up, all in, you sign up with an account with us and we can give you the information, to a blend of our tenancy and the customer's tenancy to, we can go all the way down to on-premises if we wish to. We don't like to do that, but we can go all in a customer's tenant. And fundamentally, what we have is a we come out of the business intelligence world, so we kind of follow that pattern of having ETL, data warehousing, and then reporting driven off of that. So we have a custom harvesting engine that we use to pull data from all of these various endpoints. Like I say, we started out with Yammer, so obviously it's robust. That's a joke there, we harvest that endpoint. We harvest off of the Office 365 graph. We harvest the audit logs or the management API, and we have a number of other sources that we're pulling from. We're pulling all of that data into data storage in Azure, typically SQL, and that's all ultimately surfaced one way or another through Power BI. So for our fully SaaS-based solution, we're using Power BI embedded. We have an application that leverages same reports that we could also deliver to the customer if they're using Power BI. And that's typically how we deliver our products, through Power BI and a customer's data.
Great, thank you.
No problem.
On the team side, how are you harvesting that data collection? You mentioned some stuff around graph and some APIs. Are you using PowerShell as well, or?
No PowerShell. Our engine is calling out directly into the graph. So in the case of Teams, Teams signals are coming through the graph right now. Not as many as we wish, of course, but we always want more than we can get. But we're getting, say, for example, conversational information that's coming in through the graph, and we're storing that in our data store. So it's not really fundamentally any different than any of the other Office workloads. It's just that the Teams is a fairly new product, and so it's in its infancy from an API standpoint.
In your SaaS model, I'm assuming that you create an Azure service principal or something to tie into that data.
That's correct. In the fully SaaS, where the customer would log in, we call that Tigraph Online. The customer logs in, they have an account. We use their account. It's a B2B scenario. Their account comes in, and they have access to the reports that we provide to them. But the harvesting is a bit of a different animal, where it's an application level permission. So service principal with a certain level of permissions to be able to read the items in the graph that are necessary.
Perfect. And then just from a overall market, what kind of sets you guys apart from the other competitors that are playing with graph and pulling some of this data on the team side?
I'm gonna punt to Ed on that one. I think he might be able to answer there, Dean. Might be able to answer just a little easier better than me on that one, because he's facing that competitive landscape a little more.
Yeah, the biggest thing is our ability to actually get the data. So what we've seen relative to other competitors in the market space is they just can't get that level of granular audit level data that we're able to get. So that's one half of it. The other half is we are, I don't want to sound arrogant, but pretty clever about our visualizations. in terms of how we're doing things, like as John mentioned, we have this concept of influencer. Well, we have a whole algorithm built around, what an influencer is and how you would go in from a weighted basis, derive that. And when we're dealing with organizations with, 100,000 plus employees, being able to key in on those people in a very tactical way is not inconsequential. So that's really the biggest thing.
Yeah, we gearheads tend to think about audits, and we get all of that stuff. But I got to say, Dean and his team have done an amazing job of coming up with some of these critical business measurements, things like an influencer score and how that would be calculated, and gone out and talked to an awful lot of people about how that works. And that's got a ton of value. If you can point to, say, an adoption standpoint, what constitutes good adoption? Well, I don't know. Just tell me what you need and I'll measure it, right? That's me as the gearhead. But we need to have, some of these business level skills as well. And we do that. We focus right in on that.
Perfect.
That's cool. And John or Dean, for people who are interested in your solution, how's it licensed? Is it like per user, per tenant? What's the licensing based off of?
It's tenant based. What we provide, and I'll give you the numbers straight up. It's roughly $1 per user per year. And if you want kind of our everything model, which is our enterprise, it's around $2 per user per year. And we scale that over 10,000 users. We start to throttle back that pricing a little bit. you know, from a scale perspective. So, okay, but with a minimum charge of $150 a month.
Okay, and that per user, is that per AD user, Azure AD user, or is that just per Teams user?
Yeah, per Teams user. We call them carbon-based life forms, to use a Star Trek metaphor, because, you know, there's obviously in any network, there's admins, there's all sorts of other service accounts and so forth. You know, it's not like we're sitting there metering everything, and because we do analytics, we kind of know who's active. You know, if you have a bunch of, you know, these F1 users who are rarely in there, we often will just remove those from our pricing model. Just, you know, we're very fair around what we're doing. We're also, on a relative basis, pretty inexpensive in market as well.
Yeah, cool. And you offer like a free trial license for anyone who wants to try it.
Absolutely.
Out?
Tigraph.com, download a free trial, and very soon we're going to be launching a sandbox so people can come and play with Tigraph without even signing up for a trial. So that should be out within the next month.
Nice. And curious, without giving away keys of the kingdom, what type of things are you looking forward to in the next 6 months in terms of, you'd like our audience to know about?
John's chomping at the bit to talk about that one. I'll let him handle it.
So I don't know if you folks have heard about a technology from Microsoft that's coming out called Graph Data Connect. I see some heads nodding there. And Graph Data, so I talked a little bit about our architecture before and how we have a harvester that goes out and pulls data down from these various sources. One of them is the graph. That graph isn't, I actually have a talk about this now. The graph isn't really designed to haul down massive amounts of data on a regular basis. It's meant for quick in and out operations, updates, you know, standard CRUD stuff. And to that end, although it's been the only way to go and get these massive amounts of data, that we need to do comprehensive analytics across a complete data set. So to that end, Microsoft's been working for a while now on this product called Graph Data Connect. And essentially, it's a way to go and get that data, but through a classic ETL process. So you'd use an Azure Data Factory now to pull data out of the graph. And everything happens behind the scenes without having to be shoved through that through that endpoint. You're not trying to shove a golf ball through a garden hose anymore. Is the best analogy of that. And it's done so. I mean, so from a technical standpoint, it's faster, it's better, great. But it's also a lot more secure. There's a lot more granularity in terms of permissioning. You know, it's not an all or nothing permission set like you have to grant our application to pull data out of the graph. It's everything you could say for this data set. I want to exclude this data or these people, all according to our organizational policies. In any event, a number of workloads are going to be coming through the Graph Data Connect. The first one is essentially Exchange and Active Directory. So we have a prototype product. We're actually working with a couple of customers right now on deploying Tigraph for Exchange. And it's using the Graph Data Connect. And we're merging the way all of our data collection is being done to match what GDC is doing over the years. So as more workloads come through GDC, we'll be able to switch off what we're doing through the graph without, you know, losing any of the value that we bring to the market, obviously, through our modeling. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know they were adding the Teams graph endpoint to that Graph Data Connect. That's really cool.
Well, they're talking about adding Teams to that, right now. So I'm not holding my breath, but we're pulling it through the regular graph right now. We're not pulling it through GDC.
Cool. Yeah, and I guess for your customers, they'll just make it more performant and scalable, right?
Sorry, you just cut out there for a second. Could you repeat that one?
Oh yeah, I guess moving to the GDC, that'll ultimately just make it more scalable and performant for your customers, right?
That's right. And it's also, so the Exchange product is actually a good example of what I was talking about from a security standpoint, because we actually started pulling Exchange data into basically building a product out through our classic way of doing it. And it kind of creeped customers out when we're bringing down email messages and bodies and things like that. And there wasn't really any way to control it at a granular level. But what GDC does is let basically puts those keys in the hands of the administrators and the customers. They don't have to just trust me, which is exactly what we want. And in addition, The way you can bundle these stuff, your packages up, we can protect our IP. So we can put this technology in a customer's tenant. They can't monkey with our solution, and we can't monkey with their data. It's kind of a win-win.
Right. Very cool. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right. If you guys have any other questions?
For me, I'm good. I mean, I definitely like the approach of not just providing, you know, analytics and reporting. I like the approach of the adoption process at the same time, where you're not just giving them reports and stuff like that. You're helping guide them through that whole adoption process by utilizing your product, right? So I definitely like that portion of it as well.
Yeah, and you know, you've just given me a chance to key off on one of my one of my pet topics is that difference between reporting and analytics. We tend to munge those two terms together, but they're not the same thing at all, right? Like, we're not just throwing reports. Here's what we think you're going to need. But we're delivering it in Power BI, which is an analytical reporting platform, so that if questions arise that we haven't anticipated, the customer can tap into the data models and basically form out the reports or create supplemental reports that do exactly what they need or answer the questions they need, but based on, you know, the back-end data model that we have built. So there's a lot of openness to it. And that's, you know, I've got a blog post out there. I don't know, it's a couple of years old now. It's called "The Difference Between Reporting and Analytics is 42. And I imagine you know where for the number 42 comes. I'll make you go read the post if you want to, if you want to get the joke. But yeah, there is a big difference between the two, and there's a place for both.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I definitely a really good session here. A lot of really good information, and definitely learned a lot about your product, which I did not know really anything about, so it was fantastic. And so thank you, John and Ed and Dean, for hopping on the call with us today, and thanks for sharing your product vision and you know, your product focus, in addition to the, you know, watchers or listeners. So it's tygraph.com where you can go and get the information about their products, and also a free trial of that information as well. So thanks everybody else for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks John. See you.